Welcome to Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region. I'm Stella Fong. In this show, we head to Red Lodge and then to Laurel, Montana. First, we go to the home of the executive chef Chris Lockhart and Gina Burkhoff, chef and general manager of Ox Pasture on Main Street Red Lodge. In the second half of the show, we head to the restaurant to learn about its inner workings. Finally, we visit with Leslyn Johnson of Laurel Farmers Market, who supplies fresh produce for Ox Pasture. I'm here in the home of Gina Burkhoff and Chris Lockhart, and I have the great pleasure of sitting down with Gina, the general manager at Ox Pasture, the restaurant in Red Lodge that is just abuzz with popularity right now.
Thank you.
Gina, thanks for sitting down with me.
Absolutely.
I just want to know, how did it all begin? Why Red Lodge? How did Ox Pasture come to be?
My mom has been here for over 20 years. I actually graduated high school from Powell, Wyoming.
Oh, you did?
I did, yeah, but my stepdad worked for the Forest Service, so we transferred around a lot, and that's where we ended up when I did high school and then went to Northwest College down there.
So you
well.
Have the Western connections.
Yeah, a little bit. And then Chris, who doesn't, he's actually British, and we got married 9 years ago, and I really wanted him to see this area of the country, so we were just had plans to come here for a year. Ended up loving it and getting some great restaurant offers. We've started out with a food truck called the Local Yokel, which we sourced everything within about 60 miles of us. And
from here in Red Lodge?
Here in Red Lodge, yep. We were in the Lights on Broadway parking lot in Red Lodge.
Oh, God.
And that was great. We picked all our own vegetables because it was before really the local movement had started. So we were actually going to farms, picking our own vegetables, driving to Billings to help pick up the bread that we had baked because there was nowhere to get anything delivered.
And how long did you do this?
We only did that for one season, and then we were offered Montana Jack's, which was up in Dean in the Stillwater Valley.
Yes.
And that was great. It had its challenges, for sure. It was a destination restaurant. We could really only pull it off a few months out of the year.
Right, right. So seasonal.
Yep. So that was seasonal. A lot of fun, though. We had some great times up there. And then we were planning on leaving the state of Montana, and Alexia and David Lucian came and offered us a great opportunity. So we're
glad you didn't leave.
We're happy as well. And that's how we ended up at Oxford.
And what was the opportunity that they offered you?
They've been extremely generous. They've offered, what their plan is to bring in up-and-coming chefs.
Yes.
We are the first ones. Very exciting. They offer us a free building, free of utilities, free of rent, and just basically giving
That's
us
amazing.
A chance to succeed and kind of showcase Chris's talents.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And how have you guys embarked on this? Did you sit down with them and say, this is the concept that we wanted to do, or?
We did, yeah. They were familiar with our food because they did join us up at Montana Jack's frequently, and I like to think that they just saw Chris's talent and, how we ran a restaurant and appreciated it and wanted to give us a fun opportunity.
And, how did you two meet?
We met, strangely enough, in Cambodia. We were both traveling. He was on a year backpack trip. A lot of British people do that, a lot
right,
of Europeans.
Right.
So he was on at the tail end of his year trip, and I was actually working for Cirque du Soleil at the time as a guardian. The story gets weird. And so, yeah, I was on a three-month break from the circus, and we both met in Cambodia.
It was meant to be.
It was meant to be.
Your paths just crossed.
Absolutely.
And why do you think there's such a great buzz and popularity for your restaurant? Because I think the moment that you opened, I heard about you.
Oh, thank you. Good. That's good to know.
And there's just this tremendous local support through Red Lodge.
There is. I think there's a few factors. One, we're extremely passionate about what we do. Chris has amazing ideas along with our sous chef, Danny Mowat. He's from Absorki, another local guy, and he's fabulous. We try to give great customer service. And the fact that we're using local produce and meats, I think that it gets the buzz out there faster because word of mouth.
You're supporting your local producers.
Absolutely.
And farmers.
It's essential in today's society. No one knows where their food is coming from for the most part. And it's just really, I think that the public is appreciative of knowing where everything is coming from and how it's being prepared and that it's fresh and awesome.
How do you find your producers? You know, you're open seasonally. You
mm-hmm. close, we are seasonally, yes.
Close at the end seasonal, of October. Uh-huh. Yep. And then when are you opening up again?
May 9th. Tuesday, right. May 9th.
So very soon.
Yes, you can make a reservation on Open Table. We're actually doing brunches this year as well, Saturday and Sunday brunches, which will be a lot of fun.
Oh, that would. And brunches are just so popular.
Yes. And there's a couple places in town, but we're excited to join them.
Well, tell me a little bit. Now I'm curiosity. What is your background? It sounds like you've had a very diverse experiences in your past.
I have, yeah. Restaurants always kind of being the main theme at this point. I was an actor for 20 years, and in Los Angeles, the saying is, oh, you're an actor, which restaurant? I started out, my first restaurant job was McDonald's, doing fast food. I worked at two different ones. You can say what you will about them, but they have a great training system. They're awesome with customer service for the most part.
Yes.
And then I moved, my first restaurant job was at the Irma and Cody.
Okay.
Went to Los Angeles after that, worked at some really nice places down there, kind of gave me a little bit more of a fine dining experience, went to Manhattan in New York, did a couple restaurants there, and then moved to Philadelphia where I did bars, clubs, restaurants, fine dining, steakhouses.
You've been around the block a few times.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah, and mostly friend of the house.
Always friend of the house, yes.
So you guys are a great team, you and Chris.
Thank you.
Yeah, so you kind of lend talents on both front and back of house and in the kitchen.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you just had a child.
We did. We have a little boy named Saxon. He's 15 months.
Who decorated the restaurant?
Thank you. That's a good one.
I'm sorry.
You almost stumped me. Alexia Lucian, who's one of our... You know, the building
yes,
owners,
yes,
investors.
Yes.
She is also the designer, and she has some fabulous ideas. I think she's going to be tweaking it every year. I have a feeling she's a designer that doesn't sit still too much. So we'll have a couple changes this year, and she'll be adding some stuff all the time.
Well, it seems like a very contemporary yet comfortable restaurant.
Thank you.
Very welcoming. It has a little twist of, I would say, a touch of French
Absolutely.
Styling in it, mm-hmm. in country.
Yep, and then she has some modern little quirks as well that she's going to throw in. And it's nice because it doesn't overpower the food. I feel like it makes the food really stand out on the plate as well as make people very comfortable as soon as they walk in.
But aside from that, they pretty much let you, too, do what you feel like is the best for the restaurant.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Chris is in full control of the menus, and Chris and Danny together, and it's a great partnership.
Well, I understand when you're gone, you go on food exploration trips. What
we
what
do.
Did you do this last year?
Yes, we just got back. We bought a fifth wheel trailer. We took the dog and the baby and drove 10,000 miles around the country. Maybe not the best plan for a new baby and a dog and a family, but we pulled it off. It was a lot of fun. We went through California, down through Florida, and then swung back through Tennessee and Kansas. So we were able to try all kinds of stuff. It's really good for Chris to get out there since the summers, you know, he pulls off 70, 80-hour weeks sometimes.
Yes.
So it's really good to get out there to get the passion back up and going.
What were some of the highlights?
You know, we love seafood. We love the South. Southern cooking, Chris is becoming to get more of an appreciation for,
mm-hmm.
which is a lot of fun to see him throw that into, you know, maybe a French plate. You know, he's all about putting it all together in one.
Oh, I look forward to finding that combination.
Good. Me too. Well. You never know what he's going to come up with. Even I don't know.
How often does the menu change?
Every 2 weeks.
All right.
Yep. So it's very seasonal. We call it hyper seasonal.
I love that.
It gets a little tricky, but they manage to pull it off.
Well,
there,
it takes certain skills to be able to work with what you have rather
I
than
think so, yeah.
going with a recipe.
Sometimes it's a bad episode of Chopped, but everything always turns out really well.
We may need to get them on Chopped.
Yeah.
Well, Gina, thanks for sitting down and talking to
Absolutely. Thank you for taking the time to come out here.
We have heard Gina's story on the beginnings of Ox Pasture. Now let's meet Chris Lockhart and get to know him better and even more about the food behind this popular restaurant. Chef, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Ox Pasture is an amazing restaurant in the sense that the locals have really embraced your presence. But success does not arrive overnight. It comes with many years of experience.
Well, my background has always been in restaurants for about 15 years. But I was always working front of house. And then when we moved, so I was serving, bartending, but I always watched the kitchens. And then when we moved to Montana 8 years ago now, I think, the only job I could get was in the kitchen. And I was like, I have a passion for cooking. I've always enjoyed watching the kitchen. And I thought, why not give it a go? So I worked at the Cafe Regis in Red Lodge.
What a great experience.
It was a great experience. You know, and they're very passionate about using local ingredients as well, with a greenhouse in the backyard.
Yes, and then the garden back there.
And you were cooking for 350 people on a Sunday brunch. It definitely threw me in there, and I realized I could do it, and I seemed to be fairly good at it. So from there on, I just stayed in the kitchen.
I think it's great. You pretty much almost learned by fire and experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I've had no one really teaching me. It's always just me reading, and I've always watched my chefs in the past and learned so much from them. But it just seemed natural.
Have you had people that have been really influential in your development in the kitchen?
I would say the most influential was when we moved to Philadelphia from England. The first restaurant I worked in, it was called Time. And the chef there, he was amazing. And that was most probably my first experience of working in kind of more fine dining experience. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I would say that was the most influential.
Well, I love that you have both front of a house and in the kitchen mm-hmm. experience, because, you know, I will say I love cooking, but I usually hide in the kitchen. So I don't do very well in the front of the house, but that, you know, so you understand what's going on there.
Yeah, I think it's very important to have an understanding of both front and back of house.
And what has been your inspirations in food? I understand you and Gina just got back from traveling. And mm-hmm. what were some of the highlights of your travels as far as food goes?
I would say going to Copenhagen. Copenhagen right now is the number one food destination in the
world.
It
is.
So we went there for 3 nights, and it was mind-blowing.
In the last years, Sweden has become a focus in the world of food. This new Nordic cuisine has come to the forefront of gastronomy with chefs such as René Redzepi of Noma and Magnus Nielsen of Veviken. Considered one of the best restaurants in the world, Noma recently closed in Copenhagen to take on the challenge of learning a new cuisine, opening in Tokyo.
Yeah, I mean, Scandinavian cuisine is very farm to table, all about using local seasonal ingredients. I find it interesting as well because their growing season is very similar to Montana. And a lot of the ingredients they have, we have also in Montana. Like the wild forage stuff.
And will you be, that's what I was going to ask, will you be going out with, you know, your sous chef or your staff in searching for mm-hmm. those products?
Yeah, we always try and do a little bit of foraging around here, mainly like juniper and mm-hmm. spruce shoots. We try and find mushrooms, not very successfully.
Success or not in harvesting. To be a good chef, it helps to understand where the food comes from. It is beneficial to see and know what is ripening and what is in season.
As far as your menu goes, you know, how do you develop that?
We change the menu every 2 weeks. So me and my sous chef, we sit down after service on a Saturday night, and we'll come up with the next menu in about an hour and a half.
In an hour and a half? Yeah. And you know what's available. How mm-hmm. do you know what's available?
So we have a list of all the local produce we can get for that week. Mm-hmm. So we sit down, look at the local produce, pick the proteins to go with it. So the menu is always, it's produce driven first.
Okay.
And then the protein is picked to go alongside the produce.
And are there key producers for you that you tend to like working with?
Mm-hmm. We work with Laurel's Farmers Market. Mm-hmm. They are Greg and Les Johnson. We've been working with them for 6 years now.
Do you request that special items for them to grow for you?
Yep, definitely. So at the end of the season, we'll always sit down with them and tell them what we'd like for the next season.
What are some of the trending items?
Like the edible flowers right now, like nasturtium flowers and the leaves. And their asparagus is amazing. they always have such a big bumper crop right now.
What about things like tomatoes, like the heirloom tomatoes, different kinds? Mm-hmm. Or
yeah, I mean, they're huge tomato growers.
Do you actually go down there or do they bring up the product?
We go and pick it up from the farm. So we're there once a week.
That is fantastic. Yeah, that you actually get to see the products.
Mm-hmm. It's got a lot easier than when we first moved here.
And why do you think that's so?
I think just people are a lot more aware of eating locally and supporting your local farms and ranches. When we opened a food cart in Red Lodge called The Local Yokel.
Gina was telling us about
that. Yeah, which, you know, we sourced 90% of our ingredients locally. And at that stage, there really wasn't a local food movement. That same summer, the Red Lodge Farmers Market started. So I think, you know, it was kind of fun being kind of pioneers of the local food movement in Red Lodge. And now it is so much easier 6 years on to, we can actually get local produce delivered to the restaurant.
And that's fantastic. Yeah. And who do you find your customers are?
Everybody, really. You know, I think we attract a very wide variety of customers, mainly locals, but a huge amount of tourists as well.
Yeah, but the locals are your bread and butter.
They are.
And did you help design the kitchen?
Yep.
Yeah.
Designed the kitchen 100%.
Well, we'll have to go over there and you'll have to give us a tour of the
definitely.
Kitchen.
It's a beautiful kitchen. We're very blessed to have been given such a great space to cook in.
Yeah. So along with the Copenhagen cuisine, are you looking into even more like the Spanish cuisine, you know, where there's a little bit more, I would say, science that's involved with?
Spanish food has always been a big, was always my major influence, kind of.
There's a lot of seafood and cheese and just charcuterie and different diverse options there.
Yeah, it's some of the best food in the world for sure. I find my cooking is a real mash of different influences because I've traveled to Asia and India and Europe and America, and I've just kind of learned, watched, and pulled it all together.
Well, I think that's the key. You've actually had the opportunity. You know, some chefs will just go through culinary
mm-hmm.
school
yep.
and learn, you know, from being in those kitchens or from books, but you've actually have had life experiences.
We met traveling, me and Gina, so we think it's important to travel to learn. I never did very well at school academically. I always did a lot better if I was out and about working and learning and seeing.
Yeah, hands-on and experiencing. Yeah. Well, all right, let's head over to your kitchen and maybe you can give us a tour.
Perfect, let's do it.
All right. Walking off Main Street in Red Lodge and entering Ox Pasture. So here we go. Let's go in. And Executive Chef Chris Lockhart is here to greet us. Thanks for welcoming us here.
Welcome. Thanks for joining us here.
Please tell us about this beautiful restaurant. You know, white walls. We have blue and white chairs, and it just feels like we're not in Montana.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of our customers compliment us on. They like the fact that they walk in off a very Montana and Western Main Street into a place that's very different, and they feel like they're transported to Greece or France or a restaurant in a big city like New York or San Francisco. So it's a very white blank canvas. Alexia Lucian, the designer, she wanted it to be a blank canvas so the food would be highlighted, but she also wanted it to feel not too alien to true Montanans who, when they walk in, her design is that it feels like a mercantile store, like an old Western mercantile store, but with very modern kind of edge to it.
Well, and it's very elegant and yet very, very comfortable. I feel like I've walked into someone's house or someone's kitchen, and it just has this really swaddling feel. But what I love is when I walk through the door, I see straight into the kitchen. So the kitchen is framed. And this is your workspace.
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, having the open kitchen, it's like a performance. So when people come and dine, they can see us working, see it it is a working kitchen, you know, so it's like theater, like a performance.
Yeah, the lights are highlighted and light, so your eyes really quickly draw to the kitchen. So let's walk over to the kitchen.
Yeah, let's do that.
Give us a tour. Tell me about this kitchen. This is your dream kitchen because you had the opportunity to just design it from the ground up.
Yep, so currently we're standing in the front part, the open kitchen, which is the area which we, you know, cook during service. And then the back part is the prep kitchen. And it was such a pleasure being able to pick all the equipment I wanted. And
tell us what some of the equipment that you have here.
So we have, it's a very simple cook line, but it's symmetrical, so it's... Most restaurants have stations, so you'd have like the fry station, the cold station, the grill station. But here, there's three of us working, and yes, the fryer is on one side, and we have the charbroiler on the other side. But you also have, these are French cooktops, so even if you're working on the fryer area, you're still doing sauté, you're still doing cold presentations, and so we don't have stations here. We're all equal. We're all cooking the same as each other.
Well, you're working together as a team, and you know how to just almost perform a dance together without running into each other and know where the steps are appropriate to take.
Yeah. So it's a small kitchen, and that's how I like to work. Everything should be within arm's reach. You should never have to be running off the line mid-service down into the basement to get something. You know, it's designed so you have everything where you need it.
And then on the other side from all your cooktops is a refrigeration.
Yep.
And prep areas.
Yep, refrigeration and freezers. So this is where we keep all our prepped foods during service. And then the middle is whoever's running the kitchen will stand, so me or Danny, our sous chef. So this is where the tickets come out and... where we plate all the food, and then the food gets put into the pot.
So now let's wander into the back prep area. What happens in here? I see that there's writing now on the refrigerator.
We count of everything that we have. That's a freezer. So anything we have in the freezer, we have a count on the front. So when we're creating a new menu, we can just quickly see if we need to use up, you know, we've got beef heart in there or leg of lamb. So we can kind of easier to plan menus and... also easier to keep track of your inventory, and we also do a family meal pre-shift. So we always, at 4:30, we all sit down and eat together, front of house and back of house.
So your staff actually gets to taste everything that you've prepared, or is it?
We do that. When we change the menu, yes, we put the food up for them to taste. But so a family meal is just something we cook. So we all get to sit down, eat, so we have full bellies for the service. So once again, if for family meal, I can go and say, oh, look, there's 2 pounds of ground lamb. Let's make a shepherd's pie.
No, and I love it because that gives you that kinship. You build that connection with everybody on your team.
Definitely, definitely.
So you now have your cold room in there.
So, yeah, this is a walk-in refrigerator. Once again, it's small, but it's perfect. Everything's right where you need it. Once again, we're very lucky because this is a brand new restaurant. Most of the restaurants in town, their walk-ins are down in the basements, as is in the kitchen, so we don't have to go far. You know, and as kitchens go, this is still quite a small space, but it's just perfectly, this is where we do all our prep.
Yes.
So once again, everything's within arm's reach.
No, you've designed it so that it's an efficient space, because the further things are, the further you have to move and the longer it takes. So, Chef, what's in the future now for us to look forward to as diners?
This season, we're going to pick up where we left off last season. We've got a few new members of staff who are super talented and we're excited to have on board. So, you know, last season was our first season. To us back here, there's certain things that we felt could be done better. So I feel like this season, we've done it 1 year already, so now everything's just going to be, to us, I think, smoother, and I think it'll be better than last season.
Well, we look forward to that experience. Thank you so much, Chef.
Thank you, Stella.
I now take you about 40 miles north into Laurel. Here, Greg and Leslyn Johnson owns Laurel Farmers Market with 70 acres right by the Highway 212 overpass. We visit with Leslyn.
Well, we have this wonderful acreage here that has grown over the years. We started here on this farm in 88, but we started down the road in 84. So basically, we've been farm marketing since 84. But this property, we started out with our main crop as pumpkins and sweet corn. And it just has grown and grown and grown to where we have a vegetable farm here from A to Z.
And how I found you was I interviewed Chris Lockhart, the chef at Oxpasture, and he told me that you were one of the local suppliers for his restaurant. How did that come to be?
Well, I think that Chris and Gina stumbled across us one day. This is way back when they first started with the local yokel. And Greg was out here working, and they stopped looking for asparagus, which he hadn't picked yet, so he gave them bags and said, have at it. And they went out into the field and picked their own asparagus, and that was the beginning of a wonderful relationship.
You plan some of the growth of what you put in your garden for Oxpasture, specifically specified by Chef Lockhart, don't you?
Yes, in the beginning, we really did a lot of talking to see what did he want the most, what does he like. We have met, like, at the end of the season. We always meet at the end of the season, whether it be to discuss what he wants next year or just to have a fun time out because we're all done. But we do talk about things that he would like grown. Sometimes I'll bring catalogs along and have bookmarked things that I think he might be interested in that he might not know about. And he also has done his research, and he'll tell me what he would like me to grow.
What are some of the unusual and special items that you're growing for him this year?
Well, he doesn't even know it yet, but we're growing something called a kumquat tomato. And when we plant these things, we always keep people like Chris in mind because he's very willing to try these new and different kinds of produce. One year we grew a Mexican sour gherkin, which is a little tiny cucumber, and he said, I'll try it, and he used it several times on his menu. This year we packed some young horseradish leaves for he and his chefs to try to see if that's anything that they would like to incorporate into their menu. But basically, some of the main crops that Chris really likes from us would be heirloom tomatoes, young zucchini, slicing cucumbers. It just goes on and on. His orders are just fun.
Where do you and Chris and Gina meet?
Well, we often meet at a restaurant, but sometimes Chris has come here. He brought his two chefs last year, gave them a big tour of the farm, and of course we had a little picnic, and in the meantime, his two chefs we brought down to the tomato high tunnel, gave them the tools and had them plant some tomatoes for that they could say, hey, did I plant these tomatoes, when we bring them down to them.
What a great experience for them, taking ownership and just knowing where their food comes from.
I know they really enjoy it.
Aside from meeting in person, how do Johnson and Lockhart communicate what produce is suddenly available and then what may be needed at the restaurant?
So Chris and I do a lot of texting to get the orders put together. And sometimes it comes from me saying, hey, I've got a lot of asparagus and cabbage and beets and et cetera, because I know he's trying to put a menu together. And sometimes Chris just texts me and asks, what do you have out there? What's growing right now? And I answer back, and he's got an order for me coming up because he'll make his menu off from what's growing at the present time.
Not only does Laurel's Farmers Market supply Lockhart, but their produce is available to the general public.
We are a market here 7 days a week. Sometimes the hours and days change depending on what time of season it is. But we have hours. We use Facebook to do a lot of our posts. And we have customers who have been coming here for absolutely years.
Well, thank you so much, Leslyn, for talking to me.
You're so welcome.
May the summer bounty be plentiful at your table. Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region, has been produced with the assistance of Ken Siebert. Music is by Parker Brown. For more information about this show, go to ypradio.org. I'm Stella Fong.